The children's message was awesome. How many of you have heard that parable before? Right? It's the parable of the wise and the... This is where you participate. Foolish, there we go. Some people said it. The wise and the foolish builder. And the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And the foolish man builds his house upon the... Now, you guys all know this song from Vacation Bible School at some point in your life, and it probably had motions like this: when the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And the rains came down and the floods came, and the rains came down and the floods came up. That's not good, right? And the house on the rock stood still, or firm, right? Because it was still there after everything that happened. And you saw that in our children's moment today, the firm foundation stood, and the one that was not quite so firm, it didn't quite make it. The building may have toppled over. Now, when we come to this text today in 1 Corinthians, it's not exactly the same as the parable found in Matthew and Luke, is it? But there are connections and parallels, and I will pull those out for us, but I wanted to recap just a little bit. If you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, or at least last week, we are in our Abundantly More series. Yes, it is a stewardship series. No, you don't need to tune out. I'm not going to ask for more giving today. I'm going to be talking about how our firm foundation in God causes us to do abundantly more because of what God has already provided. So while this is a stewardship season and a stewardship sermon, it is not your typical sermon. Last week we talked about being rooted or planted in Christ by the stream of living water and what that means for us, and how that in the times of our life when everything seems dry or dusty, the living water of Christ in which we have been rooted gives us life. It allows us to stay strong and to prosper and to fruit. And this week we are looking at what it means to be grounded in God. What does it mean for you and I to be grounded in God through Christ, who is our Savior? I will say that for this series, our focus comes out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And in verse 17, it says this: you are being rooted and grounded in love. Let me repeat that. You are being rooted and grounded in love. Did you hear it? Can you feel where we're headed? Do you know what's going to happen today? I hope so. I hope this is not a secret to any of us about where God is calling us to be today. You see, that same word that is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, grounded, and here is where I'll do my best to pronounce a Greek word, and I'm not a Greek speaker. Thamileo. Did you hear that? Thamileo. Yeah, that's bad. I'm not good at Greek. But that word means, it's a verb. So what does a verb do? Action. Verbs do things. They're an action verb. And that word in Ephesians, thamileo, means to be established, right? To be created or grounded, as we have translated it in English. Well, this word is closely related to the word that I hope you heard beginning in verse 10 of our scripture today. In verse 10, the writer says that I laid a foundation, thamileos. This is a noun. So we went from a verb, which is a what? To a noun, which is a person, place, thing, or idea. You didn't know you were getting English today, did you? Yeah. When we come and gather for worship, we should be learning together. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the things that we already know. A verb is an action, that there has been action taken, and that idea of someone or something being grounded or founded. And in this other one, in our Corinthians scripture, it says that I laid a foundation, a thing. There is a foundation, right? A foundation, a thamileos. It's found 14 times throughout the New Testament. Three of those times are in this one section of Scripture. So if it's found 14 times in the New Testament and three times in the verses that I read to you, what do you think that tells us about the importance of that word in this context? It's very important. It's very important for us to get it. And usually when a word in Scripture appears three times, we need to pay attention. And our writer is telling us over and over and over again that there is this thing. There is this thing that is so important for us to not miss. It is the foundation of everything. That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? The foundation of all things. Well, this week, as I was doing my sermon prep, I have to admit, I really enjoyed looking at this text. It was fun to sit and to wrestle with. But if I'm going to be honest with you, in the early part of the text, in verse 10, Paul, the writer here, says that he's a master builder, right? And immediately my brain, because it's broken, goes to the Lego movie. I love movies. And in the Lego movie, it's all about Legos that have come to life and a kid that's playing with Legos and telling a story. And the concept is there are special Legos that can build anything, and they're called master builders. So immediately as I'm reading this text, I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a Lego sermon. And then I went, no, probably not. That's a good first blush. But I'll tell the congregation about my thought. And I had no idea what Miss Janet was doing. We talked about the week, but I didn't know she was going to bring giant Legos. So I had to tell you about the Lego movie. If you've never seen it, go watch it. You will laugh. It's a lot of fun. But the master builder in the movie is supposed to be someone who can build what? Everything and anything, right? And there's a character who is thought to be a master builder who turns out to just be an ordinary Lego. You and I, a regular Joe. But in fact, that regular Joe, once he realizes who he is and what he has been created to be, does in fact begin to change the world. So maybe this won't be a movie about a message about the Lego movie, but maybe it'll be a message about what a foundation is or is not. You see, as I continue to do my sermon preparation this week, I realize that a foundation can be a lot of things. As Miss Janet pointed out, it can be a concrete slab that's used for the building of a home or some other structure. How many of you have a house? Right? At the bottom of your house is probably a concrete foundation. And in our city, if it's not laid correctly, you're going to have foundation issues. It's going to move and shift and crack. So you need to make sure that the foundation is laid correctly. So I thought, well, this will be a sermon about a cement slab. That sounds good. Jesus as our cement slab. That sounds awesome. Except if you've ever fallen on a cement slab, it doesn't feel too good, does it? It really hurts. Well, then I thought, okay, well, I should go to the dictionary. So I went to the dictionary, and Merriam-Webster told me that not only is it a foundation, a concrete slab, it could be an ideology, a thought. It's also a cosmetic. I bet there are some ladies in here who know what foundation is. I don't use foundation. Some days I probably should, but I don't. It can also be, a foundation can be an organization or an institution. Did you know that First Methodist has a foundation? Yeah. It is, in fact, a foundation based on an endowment that blesses us as it reinvests in our ministry. But the thing that struck me the most was that a foundation is a beginning. A foundation is a beginning. And so, friends, the question that I have for you today as Methodists here that gather and worship in this space as a part of First Methodist Houston, what is your beginning? What is our beginning? Do we even know where we have come from? There is a saying that says, if you don't know where you've come from, how do you know where you're going? See, you guys get this participatory thing. I love it. What is our beginning? The writer of our scripture tells us, in fact, that it is a singular individual, and that individual is who? Jesus Christ. He is our foundation and has been laid down for us. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes you and I, if we are honest with ourselves and one another, we forget what the foundation, what the beginning really is, and we point to other things as our beginning, as our origin story. Sometimes in the Methodist tradition, we like to use words like, well, scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Those are the foundational ways that we are Methodist. Or maybe you like to point to the historical beginnings of something. Did you know, in fact, that in 1837, a man named Martin Ruther, a Methodist minister of the New York Conference, was appointed superintendent to the Texas mission area, along with a gentleman named Littleton Flower and Robert Alexander, who all volunteered for this job, by the way, in 1836. They volunteered to come to this new Republic of Texas and to bring the Methodist movement here. Well, it was, in fact, Martin Ruther and Littleton Fowler who began setting up United Methodist societies, gatherings, today we would call them churches, in places to meet. And it is because of those two men who gathered people together for worship that, in fact, First Methodist Houston exists. So we could say that our beginning comes from Martin Ruther and Littleton Fowler, right? We could. That is a beginning. But what is our beginning? Jesus, who is our foundation. Now, I'm certain that in the retelling of some of that history that Gary Hickman, our resident historian, will correct me because I probably didn't get something quite right. But that's okay. The idea is that long before you and I sat here in this chapel, there were faithful men and women who came before us, who chose to gather together in small groups and in classes and in bands to do the hard work of discovering the beginning for themselves, of coming to know Jesus Christ personally and to put their lives in his trust. So what are we building from? Right? Because a beginning requires there's something yet to come. And if our foundation is not our past history, but it is in fact Christ, what are we building from? Are we building from Christ? Or are we building from something else? How many of you are familiar with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Stephen Covey, great book, right? In one of his talks, he gives this illustration. I didn't bring it in today because I would make a mess and probably break it. So we're going to imagine that right here is a giant glass container. You can see why I didn't bring it in, right? I would knock it down. A giant glass container, and on either side of the glass container is a bucket of sand. There's some really large stones, there's some medium-sized stones, and there's some pebbles. And the idea within this is you have to make it all fit in the glass jar. Most people don't begin with the end in mind. See, the premise here for Covey was you have to begin with the end in mind. What is the end of this exercise? To get everything in the container. Everything in the container. Not one or two things in the container, but all the things in the container. And typically what will happen is someone is invited to come and try to get everything in the container. Most of the time, someone will start with the sand. And then maybe some small rocks. And then eventually they realize, oh man, this is not going to fit. I have filled up the container with the small things. So they put the rock back down. They empty it all back out and they give someone else a try. Eventually, someone will figure it out that when you are trying to fill that container, you have to begin with the big rocks. You must put the first things first. Because when you take the big rocks and you place them into that container, then you can place the smaller rocks in. And the even smaller rocks, and eventually the sand which will sift in and fill all those gaps. But friends, you and I are constantly, if we're honest with one another, not starting with a foundation of big rocks. We want to start on things like sand, because it's pretty, and it's comfortable, and it's easy. But sometimes that big rock is hard to really begin to build ourselves on. Luckily for us, our rock is not that difficult to build on. Our rock is in fact Jesus Christ, who is our firm foundation. So what does it look like for us to build our lives upon Jesus so that we might be made into the people that God has called us to be? I wonder what would happen if we began with the end in mind. What is the end of this idea of being a Christian? What is about in the long run? To experience eternal life? Yes. Amen? No one says amen? Amen. We want to experience eternal life. And sometimes we think that that's going to come sometime later. Jesus says that we can experience that here and now, but we have to begin by building on this foundation of Christ in our lives as our foundation. And when we do that, we can then live into the mission and the vision and the ministry of who God has called us to be. In the United Methodist Church, that means we are going to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You see, as we help others build their lives on Christ, they are in fact transformed and we are transformed. And when lives are transformed, more lives become transformed. And eventually, the world is transformed. Well, what does that look like, Pastor? You're saying a lot of things that sound like we're doing it already. And maybe you are. Congratulations. I'm excited for you. But just because you have begun the work on the foundation and you have continued to work with a strong foundation does not mean the work is done. There is still much work for you and I to do. Because ultimately, our goal is to imitate the one that came before, to show the world what love is. You see, Ephesians said that we're being rooted and grounded in love. Not just rooted and grounded on the ground or in sand or on a rock. We are rooted and grounded in love. And so that is ultimately the foundation that Christ has laid for us. A foundation of love. But friends, it's not any kind of love, is it? It's a sacrificial love. A love, according to John 15, verses 12 through 14, a love that would lay down its life for its friends. Friends, that is the foundation that has been laid for us. A foundation of love, the love of God who sent his only Son for us so that we might know the truth about who we are and what we've been called to do, and so that we might experience abundantly more here and now and invite others to experience abundantly more in their lives. But how do we do that? We need to lay down our lives for others. In the same way that Christ laid down his life for us, no, I'm not asking you to be crucified. I'm asking you to give of yourself on a daily basis so that others around you might thrive, so that others around you might survive, so that others around you might come to know the truth of the love and grace of Christ which dwells within you, that they might choose to lay down their lives and build it on Christ themselves. Friends, when we live our lives like that, we are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Because if we are grounded in Christ, if we are founded on Christ, we are grounded in love and we are founded in love. What might that look like if we were all rooted and grounded in love? What might that look like if every person who confessed to be a follower of Jesus Christ were in fact rooted and grounded in love? I think we might transform the world. But if I'm honest, I think there are some in our world today who claim a foundation that is not true. They point to a foundation, but in their own lives have not done the work necessary to be able to live that out. And it is work, friends. It is work to lay down your lives for others. It is work to place others' needs before yourself. It is work to make sure that others are experiencing the abundant life of Christ now and not just keeping those things for myself. Recently, the clergy got to travel to Kansas City for the Leadership Institute, and we got to hear some great preaching. Candace Lewis, who is the president of Gammon Theological Seminary in Atlanta, was preaching on this text. And so I got to go back and look at my notes for that. No, I didn't steal her sermon. I didn't do that at all. Hers was probably much better. But what stuck out to me in this is that she focused on that idea of watering and planting at the beginning of the text. And what she said was, God doesn't give trees. God gives seeds. And it is up to you and I to continue to plant those seeds and scatter those seeds everywhere we go by being the people that God has called us to be. About living a life of sacrificial love, we are planting seeds for others. Eventually, a tree will grow and bless someone along the way. Friends, in 1838, some people got together. They called themselves a Methodist Society, and they began gathering regularly. And today we are blessed with a downtown campus and a west campus and members in both places and ministry across the globe because of people that came before us. They planted what? Seeds. They didn't plant trees. They didn't build buildings or giant structures. They simply gathered together and were faithful to God. So friends, we are being called to scatter seeds as a part of our foundation building. But also, we're being called to see what could be, not what is. You see, also in that conference, we got to hear from Adam Hamilton, and he began to paint a picture within one of his sermons about the fact that God does not focus or see what is, but God can always see what will be. And God looks at each one of us, regardless of where we are, and realizes there is more to us than meets the eye. That there is more for us to offer the world than what we think of ourselves. You see, God sees within us the potential of who we could become if we simply build our life on the foundation that God has already laid for us. God has given us all the seeds that we need. God has laid for us a firm foundation and has watered it throughout the years. Friends, we have been given abundantly more than we deserve. Amen? We have been given abundantly more than we deserve, and yet at times we are not satisfied with what we have. We want to look back at what was and think about the days that were and believe that those were the best days ever. Well, friends, I'm telling you what. God doesn't look at what is. God sees what could be. And God knows that the best days for all of us are still ahead. And we have been given a firm foundation in many ways. It is up to us to decide what we do with that foundation. It is up to us to decide what we do with the resources that have been left to us, to the seeds that have been planted within us. Will we allow them to grow and to sprout and to flourish? Or will we allow them to wither and waste away? What are we going to do with all that God has given us? I know what we're going to do. We're going to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we are going to leave this world and this city and this community better than we found it. So that when the next generation rises up and looks back, they can say, we have been given abundantly more than we deserve, and we are thankful to those who came before us. So friends, in this season of stewardship, of being a good steward, realize that God has already given us abundantly more than we deserve. And we're called to respond, each in our own way. How will you respond to what God has done for you? What is God calling for you to do in this season? And how will you share with the world that you have received abundantly more? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so blessed, and sometimes we can't even see it. God, we ask that this day, as we move forward in all that you have already given for us, all that you have already done for us, all that you are already doing for us, that we might not be stuck on what is, but that we could begin to see what could be. God, we know that you have laid a firm foundation for us, and I pray that this day we would build our lives again on that foundation. For in fact, Lord, we are living sacrifices. And we know that the only problem with a living sacrifice, Lord, is it can get up and walk away. So today, God, we come to you once again and we give you our lives. We give you all that we are and all that we have. And we say that we want abundantly more. We want to partner with you to be builders of this kingdom here and now. God, we ask that you would bless us in this work that is for us now and in the days to come. And God, we approach your throne of grace boldly as we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.